praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient in our lives. Thank you for your helps you have released into our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs we have gotten through your power that is working in us. Thank you, Lord, for your dominion you have activated and enthroned in our lives. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the strength to do your will at all times, in all situations. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to trust you and hold on to your word, even when every other person's doing contrary. Thank you for your sustaining grace that is so much in our lives. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual capacity you have created in our spirits to be able to fight battles and conquer them all. Thank you, Lord, for lifting us above the enemy and above all the works of the devil. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you have taught us here on this platform in the previous Bible study classes. We thank you for so many things we have learned from you. We thank you for how these things have impacted us positively. We thank you for how it has transformed our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having another moment in your presence to learn again, O Lord, speak to everyone. Let the entrance of this teaching give life to every heart, to every soul, in the name of Jesus. Let the entrance of this teaching produce revival in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Let the weak become strong suddenly by the entrance of this thing, and let a lot of advancement and growth begin to happen in our spiritual lives, in our relationship with you, by the end of this teaching. Thank you, Father, for we know that you will do beyond what we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We have been looking at the part 5 of our teaching series, which is building a strong discerning spirit. that is the theme or the title of our teaching series, Building a Strong Discerning Spirit. And we are now in part 5 of this teaching. And part 5 says, Discerning the Realm of God and His Angels. And we have looked at point 1, point 2, point 3, point 4. Now, we'll be looking at point 5, Discerning the Realm of God and His Angels. Today's topic is, which is point number 5, is God's voice is in His Word. God's voice, the voice of God, is inside His Word. The voice of God is inside His Word. God's voice is in His Word. Yeah, that is the topic. So which means that to hear God's voice, just pick up His Word, look into His Word, then you will find His voice through His Word. Because God's voice is in His Word. Let us read the book of Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 11. Psalm 62, verse 11. God had spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Hallelujah. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Another translation says, which is New Living Translation, it says, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. And what is it that God spoke plainly, and this man heard it several times? It is that God is the owner of power, or if I should say, God is the only one with power. Yeah, it says, power, O God, belongs to you. King James Version says that power belongeth unto God. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about power, but let me explain what this verse is talking about. For the sake of some of you that might not really understand this verse, what it's saying, but it's not power I'm really talking about. Well, what I'm talking about is the fact that God spoke once, and this man said he heard it twice. And another translation says he heard it many times. Yeah, but let me try and explain what it means when Bible says power belongeth unto God. Yeah, it's a way of saying that no one else is powerful where God is. Yeah, if God is not there, or if God decides to hide himself, it can be said of those of the people there or the creatures there that they are powerful. But when God appears there, all of them, they are not powerful. In fact, all of them, we agree and acknowledge that they don't have power. Yeah, because the truth is that they don't have power. How can a tiny hand, you know, hands claim that it has power in the presence of elephants? You know, the elephant just need to press the hand and the hand is gone. Yeah. So, whoever have power cannot dare boast of that power before God. Yeah. Because that power that they say they have is equal to no power. Yeah. So that is what the verse meant by saying that power, O God, belongs to you. Power, O God, belongs to you. That power belongeth unto God. So that is what that verse is saying. Yeah. That no one have power where God is. He's the only one that has power. Yeah. So which means anything is surviving, or everything is surviving because he wants them to survive. Satan is operating because he wants him to operate. Yeah, I pray that God give you understanding. Yeah. Amen. So let me go to the main point. Here in this verse, it says God had spoken once. Twice have I heard this. And then in New Living Translation, it says, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Yeah, so how does this verse relate to the voice of God? God has spoken once, twice have I heard. And then, God has spoken plainly many times. I have heard it. What does it mean? It means that the voice of God has the voice of God has in itself voices. That is, there are voices inside his voice. Yeah, the voice of God is a voice of voices. A voice of many voices. A voice of many voices. That is, we have a lot of voices inside his voice. Now, there are some places in the scripture where God appeared to. God appeared to people, like when Ezekiel saw the glory of God. And not only that, even when Apostle John saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he said that the words of Jesus of Many Waters. Maybe we should read it. The Book of Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. His voice as the sound of many waters. So when this apostle had the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said the voice of Jesus was sounding like many waters. If you have been to the sea before, or ocean, when the ocean is moving, you know those waves that the ocean or the sea used to move with, when those waves are flapping upon each other, you will be hearing a lot of sounds at the same time. Something like that. So he said the voice that was coming out from the mouth of Jesus were like sound of many waters. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15. So as I was saying, because of the depth that is in God, that is, God is so deep and God is so complex. When I was in secondary school, I used to dislike some subject in mathematics, because those calculations, those equations are so complex. You will have to find this answer, then you move again and find this one. And then even if you look at the formula for those equations? It's so complex. So God is a being that is so deep and so complex. That is, is so deep. So deep. That there is no end to the depth that is in him. Have you ever gotten a revelation from God? Maybe as you were studying the word of God, and then God opened your eyes, and then you suddenly saw a new revelation, a new understanding in the word of God, and then you felt like, wow, so this is what this verse means, this is what God is saying from this place, from this chapter. And then you were like, wow, this is a powerful revelation. Or have you had any man of God preaching and teaching, and then you feel like, wow, this man is so full of revelations? Now, those revelations that you have had, whether you read in a book, read in an article, or you heard from preaching or teaching, or and including the one that you saw by yourself through the Holy Spirit. Now add all those revelations together and multiply them by 1 trillion, and whatever you get, multiply again by trillions. That is how much revelation that is inside of God. I'm just trying to open your mind to know the depth that is in God. There is so much that is praising him so much. So much. Wisdom, so much. Countless. I mean, without number. It has no end. Revelation, so much. Understanding, so much. Power, so much. So everything about God is endless. Is excess. Is too much. Or, yeah, if I can use that word, too much. Yeah, so that is why when he speak, even his voice, just maybe he spoke a sentence, like in that verse, Psalm 62, verse 11. It was just a sentence. Or, yeah, I think it's a sentence. It says, power belongeth unto God. Yeah. And that man, the person who wrote that psalm, said he had that word from God. And then he hearing it again and again. He said, God spoke once, and then twice in my heart, that power belongeth unto God. Yeah, so there are voices inside God's voice. And if the word of God is a product of God's voice, yeah, or maybe God's inspiration, because the people who wrote the Bible, they wrote the Bible as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so if the word of God is a product God's voice, if the word of God is a product of God's mind, then there are voices inside the word of God. A lot of voices of God inside the word. I don't know if what I'm saying, if it's making any sense to you. Yeah, I'm not, since when we started this teaching on discerning spirit, on building a strong discerning spirit, I can't even remember the day we started or the year we started. I've been taking it very slow. It's not like I can't finish the whole of part 5 in a day. Yeah, but I'm taking it very slow so that it can produce transformation in your life. Yeah, so I hope that what I'm saying is making sense to you. Yeah, so I said there are voices inside God's voice. There are words inside God's word. Because God is very deep. Amen. Yeah, I want us to also look at the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Yeah, this is God's instruction to Joshua. Okay, it's almost a year now. We started this topic last year, June. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so God was speaking to Joshua here. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And how would the book of the law remain in Joshua's mouth? It went further to say, but thou shalt meditate during day and night. That is how it will not depart from his mouth. Because of constant meditation. Constant meditation. I have witnessed the manifestation of the gift of prophecy. I'm not referring to the divination that some prophets practice, and they call it gift of prophecy. There's a difference between prophecy and divination. Divination is trying to get, maybe I should use the word facts. Yeah, divination is trying to get facts from the spiritual realms. Yeah, I don't want to use the word truth because the only person that is the truth is Jesus. Any other thing that is not according to Jesus is not the truth. So many things can be, but many things are not the truth. Many things are not according to the truth. Even though they can be true. I mean, yeah. Even though they can be true, but they are not according to the truth. So divination is when you're trying to pull some things out from the spiritual realms, some information. So which most times they are information about things, people, yeah, places, yeah. When you try to pull out facts, information from the realm of the spirit, that is divination. Because the realm of the spirit has a copy of everything that is going on in this physical realm. It's just like the way you can make copies of a document and save some. Like some people, they have documents saved on Google Drive. Some people have documents saved on iCloud. Some have documents saved on their email. Yeah, just like when you make copies of a document and then you save it in different places. So the realm of the spirit has a copy of everything that is going on in this world. Yeah, they have a copy. Yeah, they have archives of many details about many things. So we have departments in the kingdom of darkness that they have records of your family line, your bloodline. They have records of your ancestral lineage. Your grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-great great, 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 great grandfather or grandparents. So they have records of everything that happened in your bloodline. They know everything. Yeah, they know everything. So, because they have copies of many things going on. They have copies of what you do in secret. Demons, they have copies of many things you do when you're alone. And sometimes they can even have a copy of what you are thinking in your mind. Yeah, so a divination is when people pull out those copies from the realm of the spirit. It's not as if they went to, or maybe I should say, it's not as if those false prophets, it's not as if they interviewed the person that, how many children does your father give birth? Yeah, so they did not interview those people to get the information, but they went to the demons. They went to the realm of the spirit to pull out information about those people. And when they are mentioning those details, the people would be, wow, that man can see vision. Wow. He even knows my phone number. He even knows the address of my house. How is that possible? He even knows the maiden name of my mom. He even knows what happened in my village 15 years ago. How come he could know that? He must be a true man of God. No way anyone could know that. That is divination. Yeah. That is divination. It's just copy and paste. Yeah, they just get the copy from the spiritual realm and they are telling you and we're not you. You know, and they say those things and people feel like, wow, this person is so special. There's nothing special about it. It is not their doing. It's a spirit that is giving them access to those information. Yeah, it is not that they labored for it. Yeah, our mind, and you know, those spirits, they will eventually deal with whoever is working for them. You know, Satan destroys even the lives of his agents. Yeah, Satan can't continue to back up a false prophet forever. Along the line, something will have to happen. He will kill the person or something. Yeah, so many of those false prophets, they are paying the price for having access to the realm of divination they prophesy from. They are paying deadly prices. Some even sacrifice human blood to continue to have access to those realms. Some, yeah, I don't want to go into that. So, now the question is, how do we differentiate between, I know where I'm coming from. I just feel like, let me talk on divination and prophecy. Maybe it might help some of you. Now, how do we differentiate between divination and prophecy? Yeah. The simple way is that prophecy means God is speaking. That's prophecy. God is speaking. Divination means a man is speaking based on information and facts you could get from the spiritual realms through dark means. Yeah, so that's the difference. So now, as I was saying, I said I have seen manifestations of believers who have the gift of prophecy. That is the genuine gift, not divination. Yeah, and these believers, sometimes they don't even know. They don't even know that they would prophesy. Yeah, some of them, they don't even know that the Holy Ghost will speak through them. The Spirit will just come upon them. The Spirit of prophecy will just come upon them. And then immediately, they begin to prophesy. They begin to prophesy. And they would say the thing is just springing out from their stomach. I mean, the words are just coming out from their stomach or from their spirit, from their belly, from deep down inside of them. The words just keep coming forth. They don't know what next they would say. They would just see the words coming out of them. Yeah, and I've listened to many, maybe I should use the word some. I've listened to some of these prophesyings. I mean, the real prophesyings, the genuine ones. And I realized that they are according to the level of maturity, spiritual maturity of those believers. I mean, the kind of prophecies that came out of them were proportional to their level of spiritual growth, their level of maturity, especially the level of the word of God in them, how much of the word of God there is in them. Yeah, so I saw that those that have a lot of the word of God in them, when they prophesied, their prophecies carry much more power, and their prophecies carries more revelations. Yeah, because they had a lot of the word of God in them. But those ones that maybe they are still growing, they are baby Christians, maybe they give their lives to Jesus maybe some few months ago. So when those ones prophesied, it wasn't as strong and deep as those that really have the word of God, a lot of God's word inside of them. Yeah, so the reason why I'm saying this is to show you that the more we are full of God's word, the more we will be full of God's voice. The more we are full of His word, the more we will be full of His voice. Yeah, because prophecy is God speaking His voice through a human vessel, through a human tongue, human mouth. Yeah. Now, let us look at this verse again. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So, which means Joshua must prophesy a lot from the book of the law. Say, it shall not depart out of his mouth. Yeah, Joshua must speak a lot from the book of the law. That is what it means. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That is, his mouth must speak a lot from the book of the law, a lot of deep things. Yeah, even though God gave the law to Moses, and Moses made sure everything was written down, word for word. Yeah, but there is much, there is a lot of God's voice inside those laws. Now, if you study the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, starting from, we have a lot of them anyway, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, yeah, even Elijah, all of that. If you study the prophets in the Bible, you will see that many of their prophecies came out of the book of the law. Many of the prophecies that all the Old Testament prophets prophesied came out of the book of the law. Yeah, it is either they are warning the people that if you don't stop worshiping idols, disaster is coming, war is coming, famine is coming. Yeah, you study all the prophets, you will see that it's either they are warning or they are predicting something that's going to happen in the future, or they are talking about blessings that will come upon the people after they have repented and they are obeying the word of God. Everything centers around the book of the law. Yeah, so they all were prophesying from the law. Prophesying from the law. Even the birth of Jesus Christ was inside the law. I mean, the revelation that Jesus will be born and that we have to listen to him and follow him, God gave it to Moses. It was inside the law. Yeah, so all the prophets, what they were doing is that they were prophesying from the law. And they were bringing out more revelations, more predictions from inside the law. I don't know if I'm getting something here. Yeah. So the law God gave Moses is a word full of many voices. And the Spirit of God begins to come upon the prophets to continue to prophesy more about the mind of God, reminding the people about the law of God. Yeah. So God said here that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So meaning that Joshua also must prophesy. He must speak a lot from the book of the law. But how? How will that happen to him? God went further to say that he must meditate on this book of the law, day and night. So the more he meditates, the more the word of God begin to break down. It's just like the way you eat and then your food start digesting. And then the food digests to the point that the food, your body now begin to draw nutrients out of the food, and then the nutrients, they go into the bloodstream, and then the waste products, they go out of your body as urine, as feces. But your body absorbs the nutrients. Yeah, so the same way the word of God must be digested through meditation and must break down inside of you. And then you begin to pick things from it. You begin to pick a lot of truth, understanding, a lot of revelations from it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and then it says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Yeah, as time goes on, that word that have been digested through meditation will start becoming voices of instructions, voices of directions. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The word of God has an instruction for everything we do on a daily basis. The word of God has a voice for everything you do every day. So after the word of God has digested in you, then it starts producing voices of instructions. Don't do that. Don't think like that. Stop doing that. So that word now begin to ensure that you do exactly as it is written. That is the spirit in that word that you have digested through meditation. That is you sat down with your Bible and then you begin to study, you begin to meditate on it, you begin to think on it, looking for understanding, looking for blessings that are inside the word, looking for instructions, looking for revelations that are inside the word. So as you begin to meditate, gradually the word begins to become part of your being. Just as the food digest and your body absorb the nutrients. So the word becomes to become part of you. And then when you want to do what is wrong, the word pulls you back and says, no, that is not right. That is not what Jesus says. That is not what the Bible says. You can't do that. Christians don't do that. So the word becomes voices of instructions inside of you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so that is a practical example or illustration of how the word of God becomes the voice of God, or how the voice of God is inside the word of God. Now, some of you might be saying, but it's not like I am, God controls me. God gives me instructions, or God leads me, and God restricts me from doing what is wrong, but it's not like I used to hear any voice. Yeah. It's not like you are hearing any voice, but it's a voice in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, the fact that something is pulling you on your inside, telling you that you can't do that. This thing you want to do is wrong. Even though it's not coming like a voice to you. It is a voice. Yeah. Only that you are not hearing it, but your body, your spirit have heard it. That is why your spirit is pulling you back from doing what God does not want you to do. your mind might not have picked the message, but your spirit have already picked the message. That is why what you now feel, or what you now experience is a feeling, or a prompting, or a pull, or a restriction. But there is a place of growth, which I'm still going to talk about. There's a place of growth where you begin to hear the voice, and not just feel the impact of the voice. That is, your spirit already had the voice. Now, what you experience is just a feeling. Now, there's a place of growth where you hear the voice in the spirit, and you're able to know exactly what God is saying that time. And I'm still going to talk on that. Now, let's move to another scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, anytime we are in Bible study class like this, you have to be opening your Bible. So don't just listen to whatever I will be reading from the scriptures here. Once I mention those verses right there where you are, open. That is why it is Bible study class. Do you attend classes in this physical, in the secular setting, without opening your textbooks and opening your books? Of course not. Of course not. So make sure you read along with me. Make sure you read along with me. Amen. So we are reading Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, Apostle Paul was writing to these people. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That is, when you are so full of the word of Christ, it makes you wise. And out of that wisdom, you'll be able to teach one another, admonish one another, and even do it through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You are singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You'll be able to sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So everything we do in the body of Christ, they are products of the word of Christ. Yeah. The songs we sing, they are from the word of God. The hymns, from the word of God. The teachings, even the prayers, from the word of God. Everything must come from the word of Jesus, from the word of Christ. So you must be full of the word of God. Some people, they say that they have the gift of composing songs, the gift of writing gospel songs, and they are not full of the word of God. How can you write songs that will bless lives and change lives if not true, if not from the word of God? How can you write spiritual songs or sing spiritual songs that will set people's hearts on fire for God if not from the word of God? So if we cannot sing from the word of God, compose songs from the word of God, teach from the word of God, pray from the word of God, then we are a dead church. Yeah. Because everything we do must come from the word of God. Amen. Everything. So the word of God must fill you up. You must be full of the word of God. And we must see the word of God in everything you do as a Christian. We must see the word of God inside everything you do. If we can't, then you have not started to live a Christian life. Yeah, let us move to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Now, I want to talk on how does I want to talk on how do you bring out the voice of God from the word of God? How do you practically harvest the voice of God from inside his word? I have talked on meditation. And then our sister here said, she thinks meditation precedes doing the word. That is, you meditate before you do the word of God. I don't know if I should say yes. But let me put it this way so that you can understand. Doing the word of God, I believe, starts from the day you repented. From the day you heard the message of the gospel, and then you repented. You repented and surrendered your life to Jesus. The fact that you believed Jesus, it means you are doing the word of God. Because the word of God says that a whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. Yeah, so from the moment you responded to the message of the gospel by repenting and surrendering to Jesus, you have started to do the word of God. time you begin to deny yourself of the lust of the flesh, you begin to forsake sin and all the things in this world, from that moment, you have started to do the word of God. Yeah. But when it comes to meditation, it is deeper than that. Because now, you want to really know the mind of God. Yeah, you want to really know God deeply. Yeah, you want to really understand God deeper than God said we should not steal. God said we should not commit adultery. God said we should not lie. You want to understand God deeper than that. Yeah, that is when you begin to meditate more on the word of God. That is, you want to become like God. You want the word of God to change into a new creature. You want to know God more. That is what meditation begins to do to you. You want to be perfect in your walk with God. That is what meditation does. And then you want to activate spiritual gifts, like the gift of prophecy, the gift of visions, the gift of divine revelations and divine encounters. Then meditation will take you into the realm of those gifts. Yeah, so meditation takes you deeper into the word than just the superficial response that happened on the day you gave your life to Jesus. That is a superficial response. Yeah, you stop committing adultery, stop fornicating, because now you are a Christian. That is just an outward separation from sin. Meditation takes you deeper into inward separation from sin. Yeah, I hope you understand now. So it's deeper than what the way you have put it. Yeah. So let's move on. I said I want to show you practically. I know our time is fast spent because this is past 10 here in Nigerian time. Yeah, but I need to show you something before we round off the class. I said I want to show you how to harvest God's voice from His word. Yeah, now let's look at this Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Yeah. It starts from your mind. It starts from your mind. There's a state of mind from where the voice of God comes out from. There's a state of mind that the word of God comes out from. A state of mind is more like, it's more like you can say radio frequency. You know, we have radio stations, and they have their frequencies. Yeah, here in Nigeria, we have those frequencies, maybe 93.5, 104.5, FM. Yeah, so they have their stations, they have their frequencies. And when you tune to the exact frequency, when you tune your radio to the exact frequency, it is sure that you will hear from that station. It is certain, because the signal is everywhere. So it is certain that you will hear from that station. Now, the problem with Christians is that they are looking for the voices from, or maybe I should put it this way, they are looking for voices when they have not tuned to the right frequency. They have not connected to the right station. And they are looking, it's just like you carry your, you put your radio on the table, and then you switch on the radio, and then you expect the radio to talk, and you did not tune the radio to the right frequency. You're expecting to hear a program where you have not tuned it to the right frequency. It's not possible. There's no way you will hear anything. In fact, you can spend 5 hours there and you will hear nothing. So Christians are trying to hear from God without tuning to the frequency of God, without tuning to the station of God. And that is not possible. It's not possible. Now, you might want to ask, how do I tune to the heavenly frequency? How do I tune to the station of God, to the station of His angels? That is what this scripture is saying. It says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. I don't know if you are getting it here. So your mind is where the tuning happened. Inside your mind. Inside your mind. So if you have attained the state of mind where the voice of God speaks, you will hear His voice. If you have attained that state of mind, so it's a state of mind, and you cannot attain that state of mind if, number one, you are still conformed to this world, you still think like the people of the world thinks, you reason as the people of the world reason, you believe what you see, you don't believe what you don't see. And that is what is going on in churches today. People believe what they see, because we are now scientific Christians. we want to see before we believe. So without saying anything, we don't want to believe. If you are like that, you can't hear God's voice, because that is the way of the world. The people in the world, they want to see before they believe. But the people in the realm of the people who will connect with the realm of God are people who will believe before they see. Yeah. And a lot of things are going on in the world. Yeah. So you must, first of all, separate yourself from the system of this world. You must know. aligned with that system. You must not embrace the system of this world. Their way of talking, their way of thinking, their way of dressing, their way of, what else? I don't know. I don't know what they do in the world again. Yeah, because it's been long I've left the world system. So you must separate from all the system in the world. Yeah. And after that, you begin to renew your mind with the word of God. Now, the word of God says this, and then you check your mind. Your mind is kind of following the opposite of what the word of God says. Then you renew it immediately. I say, my mind, no, that is a wrong direction. And that is, you speak to your mind. No, 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 you are going the wrong direction. This is not the direction of the word of God. Come back, come back, come back. And then you look at the word of God again, you see another thing there. And then you check your mind. Your mind seems to follow another way. Then you talk to your mind and say, my mind, no, 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 you can't go that way. That is not the direction of the word of God. So as you begin to renew your mind, change your mind through the word of God, then you begin to create that station, that heavenly station from where God speaks, or maybe I should say that heavenly stations begin to form inside of you gradually. And that is why it says you'll be transformed through the renewing of your mind, changing the way you think, the way you see things. If you don't change the way you think and the way you see things, you can't hear the voice of God. If you hear anyone, if you hear a voice, it's not the voice of God. The word of God must change everything about you. You must let it change everything. Your mindset, your culture. The word of God must change everything. Your lifestyle, your attitude, your habits. The word of God must change everything. I mean everything. Yeah, then that divine station will form inside of you. Yeah, it is from that state of mind you can be sure that you will hear God's voice. And then let me read further. It says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, through this transformation, you'll be able to prove what is good. You'll be able to separate what is good from what is not good. That is through the transformation that happens by renewing your mind with God's word. You'll begin to prove that this is good and this is not good. You'll be able to prove that this is acceptable and this is not acceptable. You'll be able to prove that this is perfect and this is not perfect. And then you'll be able to prove that this is the will of God and this is not the will of God. So that is how you will harvest the voice of God from the word of God. Yeah, there is still more to this, but our time is fast spent, except you want me to continue. If you want me to continue, if two or three people want me to continue, I will continue. If not, we'll stop here because of time. Yeah, the other thing that I need to talk to you on is going to be okay. Yeah, that's one. If two more people. Okay. All right. I should continue. Okay, let me quickly. Let me quickly finish up with. Okay, yeah. Yeah, let me look at how I can round off very fast. Just some few minutes. Yeah, maybe the next 10 minutes I should be able to finish up with what I want to say. Now, after you have been able to attain this state of mind from where God speaks, which of course, to attain that state of mind is not a child's play. It's not going to be easy, because the devil is going to fight you. Seriously. I have said it in one of our, during one of our prayer sessions, that the toughest battles of Satan happen in the realm of the mind. In the realm of your mind. That is where the toughest satanic battles take place. Every other battle, they are not as tough as the one that comes to your mind. Every other battles like witchcraft attacks, sickness attack, all of those ones, they are small battles. The one that comes to the realm of your mind, they are the toughest, because I fought those battles. That's why I know they are the toughest. I have fought other battles. And then I have fought the battles of the mind. And I know the differences. It is the one we fight in the mind that is the toughest of all the battles that the kingdom of darkness bring against us. Yeah, so don't think it will just happen easily. Apostle taught us from the word of God that we should renew our mind with God's word, and then we'll be transformed as we do that. And then you think it's going to be easy like that, and then we just pick a chapter and then you are reading. It's not going to be easy. Yeah. Have that in mind. You must be ready to fight. So it's going to happen through fast, as you are studying the word of God, meditating on it, and then using the word of God to renew your mind. You will be fasting and praying along the line. Because that is how it will work. It is the Holy Spirit that will really make that transformation happen inside of you. Yeah, so that is why you have to put a lot of effort to achieve this. Now, let's say you have done all those efforts. The next thing is step by step. Step by step meditation. Step by step, or maybe I should use the word practical meditation. Let us read the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, this is a prophet saying that you will stand upon his watch. That is, he's going to stand upon his watch tower. Yeah, in those days, there used to be a watch tower. I don't know if that is the business of that, or he's just using that as an illustration. I don't know. I don't know if that is, if this man is a watchman in real life, or he's just using it as an illustration to show us how we should wait on God. Let me read from another translation. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Yeah, so this man is saying that he's going to position himself. That's what it means to stand on your watch. That is, you position yourself in such a way that you are waiting to see what the Lord will say. Now, there are step-by-step meditation that we do. After we have been able to attain that state of mind, that state of spiritual mindedness, heavenly minded, mindedness, and that state of purity of mind, and that mind of faith, that state of mind that is full of faith and trust in God and love for God. So after you have attained that mindset or that state of mind, you begin to practically meditate on the Word of God. That is, you start meditating on the Word of God to get a message from God. Yeah, that is, you believe that the voice of God is inside this passage of the Bible reading. And then you continue to meditate on that passage, because you really want to hear the voice of God that is there, the revelation that is there. And then you continue. You continue. To meditate means that you are pondering on something. It's just similar to the way you think. But this time around, you put yourself in the confinement of that word, of that scripture. That is, everything you are thinking is all about that scripture. You are not thinking outside. Whenever something is trying to make you to think another thing, you block whatever wants to make you think another thing that is outside of that Bible passage meditating on. So anything that is trying to distract you, you block it. So you bury yourself inside a particular verse or chapter of the Word of God. You bury yourself deep there, and you begin to think around the understanding in that verse. That is, your meditation follows understanding. That is, at least your own logical understanding of what that verse is saying. That is why I advise people to not only read from King James Version, because it might be difficult to understand sometimes. Get other translations that are easy to understand, like the one I use most times, the New Living Translation. Yeah. So after you understood what that passage is saying, now you are saying, God, I want to know more. So you bury all your thoughts within that understanding. Within the understanding in that passage. And then you keep thinking and thinking. You keep thinking of what is this passage saying to us, God's children, at this time, in these last days. How should people respond to this truth, to this understanding that is here? What else does it mean? Yeah, and then in the process you begin to ask questions. Yeah, and as you're asking questions, you begin to wait for answers, as this prophet was waiting on his watchtower, prophet Habakkuk. He said, "Dear, I will wait to see what the Lord says." He said he's going to wait to see what the Lord says. So as you continue to meditate on the understanding, you have gotten from the Bible passage. As time goes by, and as we begin to apply that understanding on everything happening in the world today, and as you begin to apply the understanding on some other things you have known about God, and then questions begin to rise up from your mind. As you begin to ask those questions, you are expecting that God will speak. And then you wait there, you continue to meditate. I think I've shared my story with you, how I began to get breakthrough to the voice of God. When God started speaking with me, he started with revelations. Should I call it revelations? Maybe I should call it visions. He started with visions. I would close my eyes and I would see a lot of things. And sometimes I will understand what I have seen. And sometimes I will not understand what I saw. Yeah, that continued for a while. So as time goes by, I become more I became more desperate. I want to start hearing his voice. I became very hungry to hear his voice. Then I began to meditate. Yeah, in those days, I would stay alone in my room meditating for hours. So I can be meditating from morning till evening. Just me in the room for hours. I'm talking of over 9 hours meditating. And I will not leave there. Sometimes I will sleep off. I'll wake up again. Continue. And not just 1-2 days. You know, in those days I was a student in the school, and I stayed in the hostel. So during some of those days I would come out of my room at evening hours, and the other students would be asking me that, "We thought you had traveled. So you have been around." And I said, "Yes, I've been around." Because I would close every door and windows. I would close every door because I don't want distraction. Yeah. And I continued like that. Many hours. Sometimes meditate through the night, through the midnight. I continued like that for days. Yeah, and it was during those moments I began to get breakthrough to hearing God's voice. Yeah, so if you think, I don't know how much you want to get from God. I don't know how much you want from God. I mean, how much of all that is inside of God are you seeking for? Maybe because Father was seeking for some very deep, deep things inside of God. Maybe that is why I was that desperate. Yeah, but if you really want to have this breakthrough we are talking about, if you really want to enter into the realm of God's voice through His Word, through meditating on His Word, then you must walk. You must walk it out. It's a hard work. Sometimes it looks like I'm breaking a very hard rock. Sometimes it looks like I'm trying to get a treasure inside the rock, and I have to break my way to where that treasure is. So that is why somebody like me can tell you something, that this is what God is saying, and it will happen exactly as I have said it will happen. It is because of the training I had went through. The Holy Spirit took me through to be able to hear from God. So I know things that if I hear from God, how do I say it? Let me look for a better way to say it. There are things that I will hear from God, and I know that it will happen because of where I had it. I mean, the place in God that I had it. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I know the realm in God where I had that thing. So that is why I am so sure it will happen. Yeah. And I know that not many people used to hear God in that place. Yeah. We have a lot of prophets. But many of them have limits in God. There are many secrets of God you don't know. And that is why sometimes they prophesy and it fails. But we have prophets that they might not say anything in a year. But whenever they will say something, you have to believe it, because it will come to pass. Yeah, they don't speak much, but whenever they speak, it will happen. It's because of where in God they received those things. The place in God they received those things. Yeah. And even if God would not do those things He told them, God would reveal to them again the reasons why He would not do what He told them. Now, I'm saying this to show you that there is no limit to how much of God you can get. Yeah, there's no limit to the depths in God you can reach if you're willing to fight for it. Yeah, if you're willing to fight for it. There are things that I cannot be saying it in the public, because there are not many people hearing those kind of things from God. Yeah, me saying it in the public will can cause great confusion. And can cause a lot of trouble. Yeah. Because they are very deep things. You know, Apostle Paul said that he went to heaven and he had some things. And he said it's unlawful for such things to be said. Yeah, he had those things in heaven. And then he says it would be unlawful to say it on earth because of how deep it is. That is, it can cause trouble on earth. I mean, cause trouble in the house of God. It can scatter things in the house of God. Because they are very deep things. And the people on earth, they are not ready to hear such deep things. Yeah, because they have not really gone deep into God. Yeah, so, you will practically get yourself into where the voice of God is. The voice of God is always speaking. It's just like a radio station that is always on. God is speaking every hour, every minute. Yeah, you are not hearing him because you have not entered that realm. You have not tuned to the frequency. Yeah, and I've shown you how. So you wait after you have continued in meditation, and then you came to the point where you begin to ask God questions. Yeah, based on the understanding that is in the Bible passage you are meditating on. Then you wait, you continue, and then you wait for revelations and for God's voice to come up in your mind. Yeah, because God will speak in your mind. That is where you will hear his voice. From your spirit, it will enter into your mind. Yeah, gradually. It will keep growing. There were times that I would hear a sentence and I wouldn't hear the remaining. So we have to stay there waiting for God to finish the sentence. Or yeah, maybe God was saying a time is coming, and then the next thing is silence. I mean, let's say I was hearing his voice, and then the voice began by saying, a time is coming. And so I'll wait there and I'll be listening. Okay, and what? And sometimes for the next 4 hours, I'm still there. Of course, I have improved now. I'm talking about that time when I was growing to hear his voice. Yeah. Sometimes for 4 hours I will stay there. I want to hear the rest. And sometimes while staying I will sleep off. Now, then later he will tell me that he decided not to continue with the sentence because he's looking for the right English to use. He made me realize that there are things in heaven that cannot be expressed through the languages we have on earth because of how deep they are. Yeah, there are things in heaven, very deep things, that there is no language on earth by which they can be expressed. Yeah. So that was why he paused, waiting for the right words to use so that I can understand his mind. At that time. So I'm going to stop here. I hope you can start something with what you have learned in today's Bible study class. I hope you can start something. That is, start this process of harvesting God's voice from His Word. Yeah. And I hope that the Lord, in His mercy, will give you that breakthrough. Yeah. You see, if you can get this breakthrough, you will never be confused in life. And you will have clarity. You will have clarity. Because I used to ask God a lot of questions. I mean, a lot of questions. And I used to get a lot of answers. Yeah. And that makes me to never be confused. Yeah. Because I just know everything going on. And I know why everything is going on the way they are going on. And I know what to do about everything going on. Yeah, so I'm always in a perfect state of peace. Peace. And comfort. Yeah, because I always listen to what He will tell me. I pray that the Lord take you there. And I also pray that by the time He starts speaking to you, you will obey and let Him correct you. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank You because You are so faithful. Thank You for this moment of Bible study. Thank You for showing us how to hear Your voice through Your Word, because Your voice is inside Your Word. Thank You, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that as many in this place today, as many who have heard this teaching, and as many who will still listen to this teaching, and thinking in their minds how they will improve in their spiritual walk with You, Lord, I ask that You help them to do all that it takes to break through into the realm of Your voice. In the name of Jesus, I ask, O Lord, that as they begin to practically seek for Your voice, seek for Your revelations, O Lord, visit them in the name of Jesus. Bring them closer to Yourself. Thank You, Father, for we know You have answered. Blessed be Your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Don't forget that you can ask questions